Steve and Jill here.
Happy Friday.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Steve and Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about childhood markers that could lead to your serial land investing habit. This is show 973, by the way.
Wow.
We are rapidly approaching show 1,000, which will be in June of this year.
Wow.
Truly amazing.
Wow.
I'm amazed.
It is.
When we started this, I figured we'd just do a couple weeks of episodes or something. I don't know.
Exactly. I had no idea.
Nobody listened to it. That's really what I thought.
And then our weekly member calls, I'm like, yeah, let's see how it goes. Let's turn it on and see if everybody wants to do it.
Our listenership's wide.
And I'm like, wow, there's a lot of people that show up and they want to talk. They like this. So we'll keep doing it.
Before we get into the topic, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com community. It's online and it's free. We will keep doing it until people stop listening. I'm serious.
Thank you. It says, Stephen Jack Butala asked Jill DeWitt. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm asking because I wrote a question.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Stephen Jack Butala asks Jill DeWitt the following.
What common personality attributes you see in successful people and unsuccessful people? Well, this is caught me by surprise. I'm like, why is my name up there? What are you doing? Okay, so what common personality traits do I see in successful people versus unsuccessful people?
Because it leads into the topic. The answer to this question is all really about this topic. And let me just say, this is the meat of the show.
Okay. Gosh, I mean, we talked about it recently. It's there's an underlying drive. It's nature, obviously, more than nurture. It's your personality. You don't stop. You don't give up at things. You solve problems. You know that you're not afraid of things. And I think that's what makes people successful. I'm like, well, I have to think about this for a second. Unsuccessful people, that's easy. They give up at the first sign of any kind of a hiccup in the road, bump in the road. They're like, oh, that's it, I'm out, never gonna work, done. You know, and usually there's something else going on. It's really not that. They're afraid of it, or I think it's usually fear. And that's why.
So I could not agree more. And here's a glaring example of something that happened to me before we started recording today. I took a staff member under my wing recently to help me do a bunch of land acquisitions. There are several places where I kind of go back to the well, so to speak. And it doesn't happen all the time, but they have a tremendous amount of back tax property that just, they don't advertise it. They only send it to like 10 of us that have purchased back tax properties directly from the county in the past. And they don't want to go through the whole process, so I got one of these notices. And it said, hey, I just want to let you know, we have like 17 million properties that we just put back on the, go come and purchase it and write a check and buy it. But to get the list, you have to send a check for, to get the list, go here, and we will send it to you. And so I said to my new assistant, please go do this. And he came back and said, after talking to everybody there 50 times, you have to come and pick it up. It's on a CD. To come to the county and pick it up. So we can't do it. And that's where he left it. And this guy is one of the brightest guys I've ever worked with.
Right.
I mean, truly, he's a treasure. Once in a lifetime employee. And it stopped right there for him. And so I got on the phone. And because this is a place that I've lived in the past, and I know a lot of people. And in the end, we've got people going down there to pick the thing up, and,
right.
and it's working. It's that.
Yep.
That's what I think
yep.
is the trait. Because there's no, I didn't even flinch about it.
We both,
we're
you and I,
gonna
that's,
get
that's
that list.
So funny. You and I are the same way. It's good news and bad news. You and I. My parents told me this a long time ago. You're going to be either, you're going to do great in something. You don't take no for an answer kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I don't take no for an answer. I'm like, there's a way around this. And I will get to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
And that's what you just described. that's easy. Let's hire someone. Heck, if I have to go on Craigslist and hire someone $50 to drive over to the county, pick up a dumb thing, I can get a notary that I can hire to go over to the
Look
county.
At, listen to yourself.
Pretend
yourself.
To be Jill,
listen
a to representative of mine.
You're absolutely. I can send solving them
a,
the problem.
I could send them a business
already.
Card, and they can walk in and say, "Hi, I'm here. I work for. I'm here for the CD. Oh, here you go."
Actually, I like it, your solutions
and
better than
shove
mine.
Shove it in an envelope and they send it to me. Done. That's too easy. And I trust these notaries. I mean, I look them up. I know where I get them. I have a business a relationship with them. That's easy done. They would do that.
We were made for each other.
Thank you.
Your solutions are better than mine and cheaper and faster.
Thank you.
But there's no way I'm not getting that list.
Yep.
There's just no way. I'll fly somebody out there.
Yeah. I also have that personal assistance business card. If it's in the, I don't know if it's near that person's area. She'll drive over there in a heartbeat and get it done.
I've approached everything that way in my life since as long as I can remember. I have to ask, since we're talking about markers in your childhood.
Yep.
Were your parents like this?
My dad was. Yes.
Neither one of my parents were like this.
Actually, my mom was too. You know what they were? They were. They both left town at 18 to start a new life in California and gone and didn't have any fear. They both, it was weird because they didn't know each other. They came from different states. And,
is your brother like this?
Oh gosh, yes.
My sister is too.
Same thing. No fear. None.
Yeah, my sister is afraid of nothing.
Yep. Like, all right, we'll just figure it out.
And she's been like that as long as I can remember too.
For me too. And you know what's funny? It's not scary for me. This is even more than, I wrote down childhood markers, which are not like in your soul childhood markers, but these are kind of in your soul. But for me, the challenge of figuring it out makes it even more fun and more exciting. You know, like, all right, I got this. I'm going to figure out a way. It's going to be good. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to get it done. And not the fear of not knowing, like, all right, I'm going to try this. Watch. Got my back, you know, kind of thing. Here we go. That makes it even more fun. So.
The older I get, the more I don't want to execute it. I just want to oversee it and make sure it's going, the outcome's going to be how I need it to be. Mm. And that's kind of the attribute, I think, or I don't know.
That's funny.
That's the voice of experience coming out. Because even not even that long ago, I had to do it myself. I had to design the website. I had to, create the graphics, do the Photoshop piece of it, add all the content, all the parts of the startup. I had to have my hands in it. So I knew about it and then turned it over to somebody else. And I think personally, looking back on that, that's taken it too far.
But back to your first point, like now you're up here. This is what Land Academy is. Now you and I are helping others and teach others, and it gets more exciting for me to watch them do it and them to experience and them to get the excitement. Like, oh my gosh, I just sold this property. I'm so happy. I'm like, that's great. That gives me the inspiration, and I love it.
I still get completely jacked off of buying a good piece of property cheap.
Yep.
I mean, that's the core of what we do. That's the driver for this whole real estate. It's just a great deal, and you created it by sending an offer.
Yep.
It's not that somebody sent it to you or there's a broker involved or any of that stuff.
Okay, I have a couple things I want to run by you. I have four things on this topic. I want to see how you feel about it.
Yeah.
Number one, what do you think about, do you think it has anything to do with growing up in an area where there's serious development all around you?
Like real estate development?
Yep.
No.
Really?
No.
I attribute
not
some
anything.
Of that.
Because I grew up in an area where there's no development.
But it was a very affluent area. Weren't there people moving up and getting homes, and you're seeing new homes being built? And
no.
Added on? No. Interesting.
There's
See,
no,
I
everybody I grew up with who was an influencer in my, was all ordinary income. This is a chapter in my book called Ordinary Income. Nobody knows what it is. If you own a manufacturing facility, you make ordinary income. If you own a retail store, like a convenience store, ordinary income.
Cool.
If you own a real estate company that buys and sells real estate constantly, ordinary income.
Well, I got one that, then let me get you my second one then, and I think you'll agree on this one. Family investing, or someone else successful that you saw.
Yeah, that was a massive influencer for me.
Thank you.
In fact, chances are none of this would have happened if I didn't have, there's several, two or three key, handful of key people that
kind of role models. They didn't mean to be role models. They didn't know they were role models, but they were role models.
Yeah, they didn't go out of their way to even have a conversation about it. But kids are sponges, you know?
Exactly. Okay, that's cool. What about Did you have a job?
Yeah.
That was somehow related early on in land investings. Okay, what was yours?
Oh, no. And you mean in real estate?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. See, mine was. Maybe I was, I don't know if I was drawn to it or if it was just my first full-time gig. But that was my first full-time gig working with these developers. And for me, it just kind of hit at home again. Like, look at what these guys are doing here. You know, they buy a piece of dirt. They built it. They literally got a construction loan, built an office building or a strip mall, leased it up and kept it. That was the funny thing, too. They didn't sell it. They leased it up and kept it.
When I was a kid, my parents, the house that I was born in, they paid $13,000 for it. This is way before I was born. And then when I was in about sixth grade, we moved to another house, much bigger house in a different neighborhood. And I started asking all the questions that a sixth grader would, like, what did you pay for this house? And what did you pay for this new one? And what's right. Where'd you get the money for it? And how does it work with the loans and the whole thing? Right. Or maybe normal kids don't ask that. I don't know. But I asked it at that time. And I distinctively remember them saying, we purchased a house for $13,000 and, you know, we sold it for $87,000. And the new house, we're buying the new one for $125,000 and we're putting this $87,000 into it and we're getting a loan for the rest. Or they got money out of their savings. I don't remember. It was a long time ago in the 70s. And I specifically stopped and asked my dad this question. Well, why doesn't you just buy every single house in the block and do that? And he laughed and everybody laughed. And then that was it. I never got an answer to the question, but I was really, really answering that question. If it's that easy to buy something, live there for 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 years, sell it for that much more money,
right?
Why wouldn't you just buy the whole town?
Exactly.
And that was the beginning of all this.
Right. Well, that ties into my last point, which is at a young age, you were able to see the value in real estate.
Yes.
And the other people can't do it.
Hell yes, that's
right?
The answer.
Same here. I was watching it and going, hey, wait a minute. Watching my parents move up and do different things too. And I'm like, yeah, wait a minute. Watching my dad buy multiple rent. He did buy a bunch and rented them out. I'm like, I need to be doing that.
My dad bought a farm that he saw the value and he took us there. And he said, see, this is a farm, but it's going to be all houses. You know, and he was smart enough to meet us from where we were coming. We're little tiny kids in grade school. It's a farm now, but look over there. See all those houses? Yep. That's what this is going to be.
Exactly.
So he purchased. Back then, you could do crazy stuff because there's no internet. You know, he went to the farmer and said, the farmer didn't know back then
right. What
it was worth. Everybody knows everything now because of the internet. And so he bought it and immediately resold it. That was probably the first land deal I was involved in, I'm sure.
There you go. This is good. This is a good topic. I wonder.
It leads into. Yeah. So hopefully everybody's thinking, having these thoughts. Whoever's listening or watching this is having these thoughts about how it applies to you, because if you were experienced these things, or even if you were experienced them last week, and you're still asking yourself these questions, and everybody around you, and they're all looking cross-eyed like they don't get it, but you do.
Right.
These are good markers for you to be a real estate investor.
Yep.
All kidding aside, if you ask a regular real estate agent any of these questions, they're going to look at you like, well, do I get to dress up? Do I get to have a new Lexus?
Right. That's not what this is.
If you're a real estate investor, you don't care about either one of those things. In fact, you don't want a new Lexus, and you can't stand dressing up.
Exactly. Now, I was thinking, too, the number of members that we have that are their family, they saw it from their parents. Like, I can think of a number of members right now that their fathers are involved with them, you know what I mean? And they saw it. They grew up in it in their childhood. So this is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Good topic. I'm glad you brought this up. Thank you.
What I think is even in more depth, I ask myself this all the time, why would someone, let's say that you have all these markers and these childhood experiences, then what makes you become like the CEO of Shea Homes,
right?
Where for whatever reason, it makes a lot of sense for you to buy a bunch of farmland or ranch land and subdivide it, do the entitlement process, put roads and stuff in and go vertical. Like go vertical with the houses is what the industry calls it. So why would you choose that over strip malls or inner city apartment buildings? There's a million little facets of real estate that you can go into. Why raw land?
Yeah.
You know, why not, something else? Because there's a lot of arguments. If you get 6 or 7 or 10 people sitting around who are in different facets of it, they'll argue great points about why theirs is the best.
True.
And it's not always, well, mine's more profitable. It's never more, it's always just, well, it just kind of makes sense to me to bulldoze a 40-acre farm situation on the outskirts of Phoenix.
It's true.
And slap up tract houses. That's never made sense to me. It's a massive freaking, you know, when there's arguing with municipalities, I'm out. Jill and I just tried to subdivide a piece of property in Mesa, Arizona, and I lost patience after, I think, 2 months.
Yeah.
And we probably could have gotten it done.
We sold it before that, so that saved us. We were getting it done.
Well, and here's why, because I asked myself that question for a lot of years. I'm an acquisitions person.
Right.
I was an acquisitions person when I got out of college, and I am right now. I just happen to be buying a different product, and I'm buying it for myself without lenders or partners for most of the time.
Ding, ding.
What are you?
I'm a salesperson.
Yeah.
I like talking to people. I do like the investing part of it, but I like more of the sales side of it.
I ended up in data, and I ended up with all these schemes of trying to reach sellers more effectively because I'm truly an acquisition person. That's the root of it.
Right.
And so if you're sitting around saying unfulfilled somehow, it's probably some version of that. Professionally unfulfilled, it's like, I'm an acquisition person or I'm a startup. I see with startup people a lot. Like it's in their soul to just start something.
True.
It doesn't matter about the money anymore. Once you have enough money, this is in my book too. Once you consistently for over 6 months have enough money to pay your bills and some leftover, so it's going into your savings, even if it's like 10 grand a month left over, it stops being for money.
Yeah.
That, in my opinion, is when you really start to make some good decisions and get that thing out of your soul, you know? Mm-hmm. It's in there and it needs to get out. Am I making an idiot out of myself?
Nope.
No, seriously, am I?
Nope. No, you're not. It's really, really good.
What's just nope?
No, it's great. No, I love it. There's nothing for me to add. It's perfect.
Well, what's in your soul? Because you're very passionate every day.
Oh.
There's something in there for you that you just need to get out every day.
I do. You know, it sounds cliche, but I get the biggest kick out of passing on the tribal knowledge and helping the next guy, whether it's helping our members, our kids, somebody else. You know, I'm doing just fine. You know, there's nothing more that I need, nothing more that I want. I have so much fun seeing other people light up like, oh my God, I just did that. Yes, you did.
Yeah.
You know, even our employees, watching our employees grow and get better at things. And they're like, oh, I did it all by myself. I'm like, yay. There's part of me that goes, yay, I don't have to do it anymore. And yay, now you know how to do it. And you're good. And you might be better than me. And I think that's awesome.
Well, you've done it again. You spent another 15 minutes or so listening to the Land Academy show. Join us next time when Jill and I talk about how a one-year investor is not a veteran.
And we answer your questions posted on our online community, landinvestors.com. It is free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
Good show.
Heartfelt show.
That was really good. You brought up some really good points. It's funny
Friday.
To see. I did, yeah. But, you know, we obviously don't talk about this before our show, and it's fun to learn what you saw as a marker versus what I saw as a marker. There's some things that are different and then plenty that overlap.
Exactly.
It's really, really cool. Wherever you are watching or wherever you are listening, please subscribe and rate us there. We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.